This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053. If you want to get involved in the show on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line, or if you want to report an alien invasion in New Jersey anyway, that's fine either way. Or if you want to get involved in the Twitch, man, on the YouTube, that is War of the Worlds. Orson Welles, I do believe.
I thought you were doing something political.
Like
Kevin to start the show off.
People
with politics.
From outer space.
What's the first website you look at every morning, Kevin, over the last couple of weeks?
It is a political website.
Oh, my gosh.
Admit that. That was not meant as a political.
Why don't you go down to 1080 and do your radio?
Yeah. What are we doing here?
All right. Let's
start a podcast.
Let's stay in our lane.
Politics
stick
on the 8.
Stick to sports. We got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, Mike Bacsik, the famous Mike Bacsik, I apologize. Alec Medford, gentlemen. Feel like we need to start with at least some Trayvon Diggs. And I guess here's my question for you. So I know we have an entire culture where the whole point is to like live your life out on social media because that's why people follow you. That's why you're an influencer and everything like that. So I guess what I saw yesterday, it was kind of making me wonder if you're a public figure, should you just do most things like apologize in public? Because Trayvon Diggs could have apologized in private and everyone, Mike Leslie, would have been like, oh, that's so nice. That's so great, blah, blah, blah. But people probably wouldn't have given him the benefit of the doubt for it because they're like, well, I don't know. I know he said that, but I didn't get to see it. And so I thought, going public with it and the way they did it with Trayvon Diggs and Mike Leslie was just, it was really freaking genius. Let's go ahead and go to cut number 10. I'm sure you've heard it or seen it by now, but if not, Diggs makes up with Mike Leslie and takes a couple of cans of D's apostrophe S nuts out of his pockets.
Thank you. I got something for you though.
Yeah.
You saw some of these were sent to the station too, right?
Yeah. What flavor you want? I got ranch. And I got banana pudding.
I'll go ranch. I'm not a banana guy.
All right, here you go.
Which one's you?
I go with these.
Yeah?
Banana pudding.
You see a fan sent some of these to the station too, man.
Yeah. Cheers.
I gotta try the banana pudding.
If I misread the play, I appreciate you apologizing. I'm sorry too.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
Thanks, man.
Good.
And so,
wait, no.
Okay, we need to talk about the flavors.
Banana pudding flavor.
I love banana pudding.
I do
I don't
too.
Think I want them in my nuts. Like, I don't want banana pudding flavored nuts.
Why not?
That doesn't make sense.
It is 10:03.
But they're your nuts to taste.
For God's sake.
I don't care.
So you can just have
no
any
way.
Flavor nuts.
It doesn't
you want.
Make sense.
Yeah.
Mustard flavored ice cream. I don't want mustard flavored ice cream. Like,
there's soy sauce and wasabi out there. Almonds, right? Like, not
that, that makes more sense to me.
No, not there are a lot of people that are like, I don't like sushi. You
bring
know?
Up so. Banana put in nuts, and I want to try them because it doesn't make sense.
Yes, and that's specifically D's mm-hmm. nuts. So if we got to find a can of those and taste them,
are they at Kroger?
The banana pudding.
Like, I can go to Kroger after.
I think this is a pretty reputable brand.
I feel like this is a very specialized nut.
I feel those flavors.
You don't think you're finding that.
Who thought of this?
I don't know.
You don't think you're finding that at the nut factory out there?
Vending nut company. Off of Montgomery there.
Yeah.
I used to live out there in Fort Worth. That's near Dickey's Arena where Arkansas is playing basketball sometime.
But Kevin isn't a huge fan of nuts, so you got him the balls instead.
Yes, I got you sour balls. I got you nuts, I got him balls, and you guys were both happy.
Yeah, we were.
We are out
happy.
At Buffalo Wild Wings in the Fort Worth.
What's your question, Kevin?
It is 10:04. How did this happen so quickly?
Alec is smiling, because so I think we're doing all right.
Trayvon Diggs wasn't happy they lost and got called out on something that might have not been the best thing to call him out on, and he told a reporter, "D's nuts," as he walked back into the locker room.
So what's your point, Kevin?
My point is, I think this might have kind of changed my philosophy.
Okay.
Because you know how you would hear stories about Dirk or even Luka would go visit the children's hospital, and he was like, "Hey, if you could like not tell anybody about this, that would be great." Because he said, "I don't want to make it about me. I want to make it about the kids." But with the culture, just in general, shifting the way we disseminate information, do you not think sometimes like this is the way to go to do every one of your like big gestures like this out in public? So now everybody knows, man, Trayvon Diggs, did you see that apology? That was the best. Is that not now the way we should probably do things if you want the credit?
Yes, and for the Dirk thing, I've always felt this way. If you're serving people like that, you don't need attention for it.
And Dirk didn't seem to give a crap about the credit.
No. I mean, my friend worked at that hospital at the time, Scottish Rite, and he said he would come in and hang little basketball boards on everybody's doors. He would do it specifically after hours. So like that's a real thing. And I think when you're serving people like that, it should that's you being a humble servant to the people you love. You brought up though a long time ago, and you took a lot of heat for this, that you thought that what Tiger Woods did was worse.
Oh, okay.
But you also brought this situation up that you watched Michael Vick's apologies. You watched him go do things that made up for it, and you saw those things. And the reality is,
tried to. I know some people will never forgive him.
Yeah, and I agree with that. The reality though is a lot of people did forgive him because he made efforts.
Yeah,
and they saw those efforts. And I think it's more about when you've done something wrong, people want to see the effort to do right afterwards. They don't necessarily need to see you do these other things, serving people like that to show off. That feels like you're showing off. This one feels like you're trying to make things right, not just for you, but for people that were hurt.
And so if everyone's going to pick up on what you do already, because like I see what from the 210, Diggs scolded Mike Leslie in public. So yes, a public apology. Yep.
I'm with their mom that too.
But it was in public, right? Because of the weird world we live in. Otherwise, it was underground of a building. You know, but it's the world that we live in. Obviously, most, if not all things can be public. So if everyone's going to jump on every single thing you say or do for better or worse, do you not see the appeal of just like, hey, here's a good deed I did. I'm going to let some people know about it. I think you're right. Personally, nobody cares about me that much to like track my comings and goings. But personally, I don't really need it public.
Jess does.
That's maybe. But if you're a public person, no, I'm sure she does. If you're a public person and people are going to have these opinions about you one way or another, maybe that is the way to go.
And there are plenty, like, you know, we used to really love Cam Newton because he never asked for stories to get out. They did.
He did the amazing block party for that kid.
Yeah, and he was always like, I don't know how this story got out. Usually it was the family that they were like, can you believe what Cam did for us? And I really do. There are some people that are like, man, look, they're always doing stuff. They're just, wow. And you know about it because they hired the publicity company to help them push it out there. Like, you know about those things because they are doing it. And there are other people that enjoy their private lives the private way that it is. So I think that everybody just kind of has to go about it their own way.
Now,
but think about this for a second.
Okay.
The Cowboys had a lot of bad things happening with the White House and all that other stuff back in the day, right? So what model did they take? They said, you know what? Let's kick off this Red Kettle thing and show the good things we do too. That way it balances out a little bit. And we're not all bad. There are some bad things that are going to happen, but we're also trying to do good. Pablo Escobar, Kevin, He's sitting there, the inventor of cocaine.
True.
Remember that dude?
Yes. He made soccer fields for kids.
Yeah, that was but in schools.
That was a real thing. We were at a boxing event, went into the bathroom, and some people were talking about, there's a fighter named Escobar. They go, not like Pablo Escobar. He invented cocaine. I was like, I don't think that was a really funny moment. I don't think that is factually accurate.
You know, you can't prove it.
That's true.
I bet you can prove it.
All the things he
did, though.
Okay. He balanced it out.
Guys, keep talking.
By saying, hey, look, I know I'm doing a lot of bad things, but I'm trying to do it for good causes. The Penguin, Kevin. I'm watching The Penguin right now.
That is an excellent
show. Feels like he's trying to help out some people by being a bad guy in the community, but also trying to help some people out.
So is everybody, do you think, not everybody, because nobody is always on the same page, it feels like. Do you think most people are like, okay, great. The apology was public. He admitted I was frustrated after a loss, which I think is a very human emotion. And everybody seems to be on the same page. Do you think, like, the fan base? I'm not saying the people in the organization. I'm sure, like, they don't care anyway. But, like, do you think the fan base mostly is like, all right, let's go?
One of my best friends texted me last night during the World Series game. And I thought he was going to text about the World Series. He didn't. He's really mad at Trayvon Diggs and Micah Parsons for having a podcast and throwing Mike Zimmer and Mike McCarthy under the bus.
I agree.
So, at least for this Cowboy fan, he feels like, all right, so now you moved on from the media and you're going to blame your coaches. You're not going to. Now, Micah Parsons didn't play in the game, but it feels like, at least to this Cowboys fan, who's my friend, that Trayvon has now moved on to, like, don't blame us, the players, for the losses. The coaches aren't putting us in a position to succeed. And he's like, hey, at some point, can you play good? And that would help out the team, possibly. At least that's a Cowboys fan's perspective right now on Trayvon Diggs.
Do you feel, I know you're not a Cowboys fan, do you feel that way?
I feel like he's just doing the, I think he's a true Dallas Cowboy. And I think Micah Parsons is a true Dallas Cowboy. They've decided that everybody is somewhat against him if they're not super praising them. And that, yes, it is somebody else's fault. How could it be our fault? It's just, we're just unlucky, or we're burnt out at the end of the year, or the coaches aren't good enough. And I think a lot of Cowboy fans, not this Cowboys fan, my buddy, but a lot of Cowboy fans, they love going down that path. Is it can't be the players. It can't be this. It has to be the coaches have just put together the worst game plan, and our guys are just following this horrible game plan. And if we had a good coach, which we seem to never have, then we would be the champs every year.
And the reality of that is fans really just want people to root for that feel like they're all running together.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right after something. Right, like they want to be like they're all in this thing together, and they represent me, and they are what I like. Not all of us are going to be at the same moral standards. Yeah, you know what? I got a cousin that's a little off.
Sure,
but you know what? We're in this thing together. Kevin, somebody said from the 972, kids look up to these guys, so it is good to show how to handle things like a grown up and professionally.
I like that.
And you know who Dax is? Dax Shepard. He's married to Kristen Bell.
Yes.
I heard him say something one day. Yeah. I heard him say something one day that really caught my ear about things. He said, you know what? Sometimes parents argue and then they go and he said, we did this all the time. You argue and then you go have the discussion and come together on how to resolve it behind closed doors. But the kids only saw the argument. So sometimes you got to go tell the kids. And I've done that more often where I've been like, you know what? Hey, your mom and I discussed this. I know you kind of saw this, but we discussed it and we realized this is the better solution. That's another example of, you know, that public figure part of kids are looking up to you.
Now, I'm going to pivot over to basketball.
Before you do that, in 1860, Albert Nieman isolated an active ingredient of the cocaine. So that's where in 1860 we started the cocaine.
So Albert Nieman, not Pablo Escobar, should get that credit.
Yeah, he died a year later. He might have been doing too much coke.
Or somebody was like, I need that recipe.
Okay, you know what? I cannot rule out either one of those perspectives. Okay, who has the crazier basketball opinion? Is it Bob Ryan, who said that the three-point shot is the worst thing to ever happen to basketball? Then he gave you a history lesson.
This is stupid.
Was not asked for by anybody in the NBA. It was the gimmick of a promoter. That promoter being Abe Saperstein, the impresario of the Harlem Globetrotters. He founded a league in 1961 known as the ABL, hoped it would be in opposition to the NBA. It was a gimmick. The league only lasted a year and a half. The three-point shot was taken elsewhere, then the ABA, and eventually to the NBA. And he said, quote, I have long said that there will probably be a four-point shot in my lifetime. The three isn't going anywhere, and that's the game. But then said it was the worst thing that ever happened to the NBA.
Dumb.
That's option one.
That's ridiculous.
Then.
Because everybody loves watching a three-point shot happen. It's awesome.
Not Bob Ryan.
He's dumb.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He said everybody.
Yeah. All right.
Bob Ryan disagrees, and probably so does all the big guys.
Do you prefer Bob Ryan's opinion or Joe Mazzulla, who has his own spicy opinions about how basketball should go forward?
The biggest thing that we rob people of from an entertainment standpoint is you can't fight anymore. I wish you just bring back, like, fighting.
I mean, I'm not against that. I'm not against those days in the NBA.
What's more, yeah, I mean, you want to talk about robbing the league of entertainment. What's more entertaining than a little scuffle?
I agree.
How come in baseball they're allowed to throw the benches? How come in hockey they're allowed to fight? I don't understand. Like,
hockey,
don't
tell me actually because, let them go for a while. How much is hard fouls in the sport? I mean, even if it doesn't rise to the level of fighting, there's no... You don't have the hard fouls anymore. You don't have the fear of going inside. You don't have the fear of some of the
Pistons.
Other of the opponents.
Yeah.
I just don't get why some sports are allowed to clear the benches. They have bats and weapons. We don't. We just have a ball.
All right, stop it right there. He also said he would like to see the NBA institute power plays after fouls.
That sounds fun.
Forcing the offending team to play a man down for a specific length of time.
That sounds fun. I feel like the Mavs would benefit from that because they're about five possessions a game, they are playing 4-on-5 defense.
That was a foul. Didn't you see it? I got destroyed.
I don't know why they took it out. Obviously, it gets the crowd revved up. The crowd loves it. Now, obviously, Rudy Tomjanovich, you don't want a guy getting sucker punched and almost dying. But when Larry Bird and Dr. J square up against each other and start throwing punches I've never understood. It is, if we're supposed to be entertaining, we're doing this for entertainment. The reason we allow five steps now, some dude took two steps yesterday in the Oklahoma City game. I'm forgetting who it was. Might have been Williams for... I'm just going to shut up.
The basketball team.
But for Oklahoma City. But then he took three more steps after pump faking, and they're like, you know, that's a legal play. And they're like, why is it legal? Because it's entertaining to see a guy jump stop, take two steps at the free throw line, pump fake a shot, and then take two more steps and lay it up. And you're like, well, you know what else is entertaining? When I get hard fouled and then I get up and don't like it and punch the dude in the nose. Like, that's also entertaining, too. Like, to a fan, that's entertaining. Not to the guy's nose, but it's entertaining.
Yeah.
Like, so if it's all about entertainment, isn't that entertaining? Mm.
Okay, well then my question is, do you think it's more absurd to have NBA fighting, NBA power play, or Bob Ryan saying that three-pointers are the worst thing that ever happened?
I'm going to say Bob Ryan offended me more.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the most one.
I think they should bring back fighting.
Okay.
I enjoyed it as a kid. It was awesome.
I like it.
If you go back and watch highlights, do you like it when guys just lay on the ground and act like they're dead for 7 minutes, Tony Parker and other people? Or do you like it when the guy gets up and then just punches the guy in the face?
Still Which should be a punishment fun? For fighting, but you should still be able to do it, you know?
Just don't fight the fans, I guess, is the base thing.
But that's going to spill over if you don't have boards.
Okay.
You know, if you don't have glass walls.
Huh. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Dallas Cowboys beat reporter for The Athletic. It is John Machota right here on The Fan. KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we bring to you from The Athletic, it is John Machota. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We're doing great. Now, my most important question, are you going to have time to stop at the Dallas Card Show before you go to Atlanta for the game?
That is a really good question. Unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it, and the reason is bad. So I'm a pretty diehard Florida State football fan.
Oh, so dear.
Before the season,
you are dying hard.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And before this awful season started for them, I had already decided to make a trip to Tallahassee when we were in Atlanta, so I would just make the four-hour drive down and meet some friends there that live in Florida. And so I'm not backing out of my plans just because the team's awful. So I'm actually flying in Friday night. Normally for road games, I fly in like Saturday morning. But I'm flying in Friday so I can drive to Tallahassee and then go to the game on Saturday and make it back to Atlanta on Sunday. So it's not a good reason, and I'm not happy about it, but this is the life we chose.
Now, North Carolina is only a slight favorite to win that game. What exciting way do you think Florida State will find to lose this one?
I'm going to tell you this right now. I've been to a lot of Florida State games in my life, and none have been worse than that experience I had last month at SMU. For them to just get destroyed at SMU, that was a low point for me. So I don't think it can get any worse than that, but I'm not going to rule anything out. But I look at it this way. If I'm going to sit there in the Rose Bowl in 2013 when they win the national championship being Auburn, I guess I got to suffer through these times too.
That is a fair point. Now, when it comes to the Falcons, and I guess maybe the NFC South in general, we've had a lot of discussions from, you know, how bad is this division going to be to could they get multiple playoff teams in there? And the Falcons are in control of that division with a 4-0 record. So I guess my first question is, are the Falcons good?
You know, I kind of think they might be. And for me, like, one of the big things is for a couple of years now, especially I don't play fantasy, but you know, other, you know, friends of mine and family members do. And so, you know, I always am big on Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson. And so obviously they're both very good players, but you're kind of like, I just always looked at it as, okay, eventually this is going to click. When you have two weapons like that, eventually you're going to have some success. And it's hard to, like, Kyle Pitts now, you know, it's hard to blame him. You have to have the quarterback to throw you the ball. And so this is the best quarterback he's had in his NFL career. And so I think that helps. I think that if you look at the way their offense is, that it's formidable. And I think the Falcons are probably what they should be. I don't think they were as bad as they were these last few years. Now, maybe that goes to quarterback play, and you can say Kirk Cousins isn't a guy that's going to get that team to the Super Bowl, but he is still a good quarterback. Mm-hmm. And so, I think they're a really good opponent. I think that they will end up beating the Cowboys on Sunday.
On the Cowboys side of things, when did you hear that? You heard it? Mike heard it?
No,
too?
I frowned and wow. Mike called you a hater.
Oh. But it's okay. He's close to it all. John, when it comes to what the Cowboys are doing defensively, the turnover numbers are down a lot. Do you have an idea of what's changed there?
I'll tell you what, you know, you have ideas, you watch it, you see different things, you have your own thoughts, but it's always good to have some, confirmation from people that are closer to it than you are. And I don't think I've ever heard Trayvon Diggs more candid and open about anything than he was yesterday when he talked about that, because Trayvon isn't generally someone that really goes super in depth, responding to questions. I'm sure if you told him that he never had to talk to reporters again, he would be just fine with it. But I will say the way he talked about the changes on defense and how, you know, I think we all knew watching the Dan Quinn defense, it was a very aggressive, you know, players were able to have a look, you know, you hear the term all the time now in the NFL, vision defense, you're able to keep, you know, your vision on the quarterback. And it sounds like with this defense, you know, there's still a transition period that these guys are still adjusting to. And the thing that I think of when I hear that is, you have a first-year coaching staff that isn't signed beyond, defense coordinator that's not signed beyond this year. Like, it's a tough time to like switch something up like that. And it sounds like, you know, we've seen the growing pains, but I think that's a big part of it, is that they were going to make this change on defense. And because of that, there were going to be growing pains that came with it. And we're seeing those. And the problem that you run into is if it does start clicking for them, it might be too late on the season.
And is it that players are resistant to the change of it all, or that players are just not accustomed to, I don't know, not having their eyes in the backfield or things like that? Because I did read your piece that you put up on The Athletic, and it's really good information.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with sports. Like, there's so few things that are ever like, it's just cut and dry. This is the one thing. This is it. It's always going to be multiple things. Like with this Cowboys team in general, there's not just one thing you can point to. There's a lot of different things. You could skip over the defense and say, I think the defense would be better if this team had any type of a running game, you know? But if you just focus on the defense, I think that, yeah, there probably is a little bit of, you know, slow to buy in from some players, not saying all, but maybe some. And then the other part of it is too, is that it's a big adjustment. I mean, that's the thing about the NFL nowadays, is it's like the longer you play, the more coaches you're going to play for. And it's not like all these coaches have something, you know, very similar. Like, everyone's going to have their different tweaks on it. And so it just seems like that under Dan Quinn, it was a maybe less thinking about what you have to do, just go play. Maybe a swing big, you know, also might lead to miss big, but it also would lead to some takeaways. Whereas this defense, I think it's got the players thinking a little bit more, and maybe they're not playing as fast because of that. And when that happens, you're probably going to have less takeaways. With that being said, the best way to get takeaways is to have pressure on the quarterback. And this team's not getting any real pressure on the quarterback. When you don't have Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence, you don't have Sam Williams, Marshawn Nealon. You're not going to get nearly as much pressure as you know you would have planned going into the season. So that's a big part of it too.
I've been kind of trying to see how this is. Does this team seem tight? Do they seem tense, like they're not having fun right now? And I know winning is fun and losing is not, but do they just seem like their personalities are a little bit different at the moment?
It's really tough for me to put a finger on that because of the fact that I've seen them where I thought they looked loose even after losses, like not the right after a loss, but like the week after, where you're like, yeah, you know, I don't think this is really about coming out of the bye week. I thought they were in a great frame of mind and didn't seem like a team that were nearly as down as media members and fans and such. So, but then again, you lose to San Francisco. And that's the thing, like if these losses keep piling up, you can only stay so positive as a human being. So as loose as they might want to be, that's fine. But I don't think that whether it's too loose, too tight, whatever, I don't think anyone has the exact answer on how you could get this thing turned around, other than the fact of you just hope that when you get Micah Parsons back and you get some other players back that it starts clicking. And then obviously, you know, as I'm sure you guys have talked about a lot and most fans talk about and us in the media talk about all the time is the, well, you could also make some moves at before the trade deadline and try and spark this thing, but you get no feeling that that's going to happen.
When you talk about any potential media members that could have in the past been down on the team, are you talking mostly about Mike Leslie or is that other people?
I don't know if he's down on the team really, to be honest with you. I'm not really sure, but I think that, generally speaking, most of us in this business are pretty cynical.
Yeah, for sure.
As soon as you see just even a slight little bit of negativity, it's sometimes easy to overdo it on that side, because it's funny. I was telling my brother this the other day because he was talking about watching the Niners game, and he's like, yeah, they just don't look like the Cowboys just don't look like they – you know, that they just don't look like the same team they've been, just their body language and everything. Like, it's very unlikely they turn this around. And I go, I agree with you. It is very, very unlikely that they would turn this around. And I really don't expect them to. But just like, okay, so I'm from Detroit. He lives in Detroit. I'm like, let's just use the Tigers and Lions as an example here. The Tigers this season started to roll after they sold at the trade deadline. The Lions, if you want to look at the piece that got the Lions rolling to where they are right now, it's right after they traded T.J. Hockenson. Like, it was like, oh, well, the season's over. They're clearly selling right now. And they started to roll right after it. So it's like a lot of stuff in sports just doesn't make sense. So while I think it's unlikely that this thing starts rolling, you can't 100% say, oh, yeah, no, this season's done. I'm not watching any other games. There's no way that this gets back on the track.
John, you are an optimistic guy. I know that you're saying, oh,
he just
cynical.
Said he was not.
No, he is. He's an optimistic guy. We know him. He's putting himself in a category that I think that he's a very happy person who is optimistic. John, when you're covering the Cowboys in Oxnard this year, I'm sure you wrote an article or two or saw somebody who you were very optimistic about that hasn't performed up to the optimism you had on them in Oxnard. I work with two guys here that was telling me all about certain guys that they felt like we're going to have good years based off of Oxnard.
I still don't understand why we haven't seen more Wanya Thomas. I'm still in that camp.
Who is somebody who you're like, gosh, I thought they were going to have a better year this year?
So for me, it's tough because every year I cover training camp, there's always some guys that they kind of flash a little bit, whether it be John Stevens or Rico Gathers, or I mean, I feel like every camp, or I'll say every other camp, there's a receiver that you're like, oh, I think this guy's going to do more. And then you just really, once the season gets going, you're just kind of like, oh, yeah, they're really not really tackling to the ground, and training camp's a bad indicator for, you know, to guarantee regular season success. So for me, though, because of that, I am going to go to the wide receiver group. And I don't know that Jalen Brooks has gotten the opportunities to really show, but I did think that there were times at camp where I thought he played even better than Jalen Tolbert. And when you watch this season, like, Jalen Tolbert is, to me, is clearly the better player. I thought maybe there'd be a little bit more from Jalen Brooks, but then also I go to Brandon Cooks, and obviously the injury is the reason he's not out there. But I really did think that, you know, hey, when he came to the Cowboys, it was a slow start. And then it kind of picked up with him and Dak. And it seemed like whenever Brandon Cooks had some success, the team had success. And I was like, you know, having this full year together, this full offseason, I think that this is really going to be a big year for Brandon Cooks. And then all of a sudden, he's really not on the field. And, you know, that's like another reason why when you look at some of these trades other teams are making and for wide receivers and such, it makes you think, well, why wouldn't you just try and make a move for another receiver to kind of help out the group? Because we don't know when Brandon Cooks is coming back. I mean, we see him out on the resistance cords, but I don't know if he's going to be back next week, the week after, when that's going to happen. And that's been a pretty big blow to that passing game. And so those would probably be the spots. I thought Marshawn Nealand would play pretty well and show flashes of, hey, this might be your next DeMarcus Lawrence. But again, injuries stop that from happening. So those would probably be the ones for me.
Will the Cowboys ever get their run game going this year?
I think that there will be a game here or there, like the Pittsburgh game, but not to where all of a sudden it turns the corner and then all of a sudden you start seeing him be, you know, like a middle of the pack run team. No, I don't see that happening. And it's, don't get me wrong, they didn't do themselves any favors by not adding more at the running back position. That's the easiest thing to point to for sure. But I don't think this offensive line is good enough for me to think that all of a sudden that thing's going to get going. I think that they'll gradually improve, but I don't see this year all of a sudden where the offensive line is where it needs to be. And probably going with two rookies on the offensive line, it was a risk, and it's not meeting expectation, but that doesn't mean that it won't pay off down the line. But for this season, yeah, I have my doubts about that really ever clicking.
When you talk about the potential improvements on the offensive line, obviously you mentioned the rookies, and that makes a whole lot of sense. But also, is it fair to say that you want, if not need, some improvements from Zach Martin, thus compared to what he's done thus far this season as well?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I guess you could be critical of Tyler Smith for certain things. I guess you could be critical of any player, really, when the team's not playing well. But outside of Tyler Smith, I don't really think anybody on the offensive line is playing great. And so, yeah, that's a tough spot for sure, because, you know, I expect Zach Martin to, you know, be in the Ring of Honor one day. I expect him to be in the Hall of Fame.
Sure,
but
for sure.
The age catches up with everyone, you know. And I think that, you know, that's part of the reason they didn't want to give a new deal to Tyron Smith, is because they didn't want to be paying for a guy that maybe doesn't have his best stuff anymore. And so they decided to go the rookie route, which is fine. And that's, I think that is a smart play for the future, but for this season, that really hasn't paid off, obviously.
Thank you very much, good sir. Against all my better judgment, good luck this weekend in your college football game. I hope it's close, at least.
I appreciate that, guys. Take
later.
It easy.
Later, man.
There you go, John Machota from The Athletic right here on 105.3 The Fan. And by the way, Mike, I know you know this. When we always joke about the Dallas Card Show, I'm not doing a bit. I have seen him numerous times at the Dallas Card Show.
Eatman has been there selling cards with his dad.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so it starts today in Allen, if you're interested. Bo Jackson's going to be there, by the way.
What?
Yep.
Bo knows.
The greatest two-way athlete ever in the history of sports.
For you guys, I'm going to see if I can get some kind of autograph swag for Peace
of Time. That's what I'm talking about, dude.
Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassett.
How to lose a World Series. The Yankees show us in the fifth inning next.
Dave Roberts can hardly watch. Here's the 1-2 pitch from Buehler. Got him swinging! That's it! It's a World Series win for LA! They've done it! They've finished the job and give Los Angeles the parade it's been waiting for!
Meh. Compare that to last year's radio call of the World Series.
You're not dreaming.
It is not even close. But the Dodgers win the World Series, and it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassick.
All right. So I'll start off with, I guess if you're a Yankee fan, I guess I'm sorry, but you guys deserve to lose.
Screw them.
Aaron Judge had a fly ball that he took his eyes off of to look at a runner that, what was the runner going to do? The ball was hit 310 feet. Like, he's not tagging up on that. I don't know why he took his eyes off the ball, but unfortunately it happened. Volpe makes a nice play in the hole, and I get it wasn't the easiest throw, but a major leaguer, a lot of times you throw a ball and you're only going to beat the guy by a step or two. Like, he put Jazz Chisholm in an almost impossible pick. Like, that would have been an unbelievable pick for a third baseman to make on such a short throw.
I thought at first he'd pegged the runner.
No, he just spiked it into the ground and just made a bad throw. I get that there's some pressure on the throw. Guess what? You're in the major leagues. Make the throw.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you pay consequences. And the Dodgers had them pay consequences because then Mookie Betts ends the inning and Gerrit Cole, after everything that's happened behind him and the mistakes that were made, then he doesn't cover first base, which then allows Freddie Freeman to come up. And I thought Corey asked a great question right before we came on the air. Did they get it right? Should he have been the World Series
MVP? He's making fun of me because when it was 3-0, I just was like making conversation. And I go, Freddie Freeman's a no-brainer to win MVP,
single.
Right?
He had a
and
single last night.
Corey looks at me and he goes, you sure? I was like, whatever, dude.
But the score should have been 5-0 after five innings. That game's over. In fact, I'll tell you, when it was 3-0 to start the game, I text my father and said, with Gerrit Cole on the mound, this should be a victory already.
You know what really blew my mind while all this was happening is the stat that you'd thrown out, that this had happened 24-ish
24
times. And no team that was down 3-0 had ever gotten into game six. Ever.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, it's going to happen. And then
only
I wondered.
Three times. Yeah. This was the fourth time in the history of baseball it even went to a fifth game.
That
and I thought.
So crazy.
At 3-0, not even 5-0, at 3-0, I thought they're going to push this thing back to LA. In fact, they're interviewing Dave Roberts in the dugout because he has the horrible task of, this is why bullpen days are very scary.
Yeah.
It ended up not hurting them in the end. They won the World Series. But then when your starting pitcher goes out and stinks like Jack Flaherty did, now you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going back-to-back bullpen days. And I'll tell you what, one of the MVPs of last night, I think the MVP of last night was Blake Treinen. For him to go out and throw 40-something pitches and to go through the heart of the order while he's fatigued and end up getting out of that situation, I thought was so big. And then for Walker Buehler to come in and get the final three outs. Once again, I think he made more money.
I'm going to go the Corey route on this. The MVP in my heart for that game was Walker Buehler, who I just keep going back to it. He matter-of-factly looked at the reporter and was like, are you kidding me? An extension? I got to prove I can stay in this league. And then he goes back out there and he was like, hey, he texted Dave Roberts and said, I'm ready to go.
The Josh Spores moment, dude. That's what I'm going to call it forever.
I like
it. I like it. That was that was a big moment for him. And I know, hey, financially, he's happy they won the World Series. But he went from being, I'll repeat what I said if you haven't listened to Baseball Nuggets all week, he went from being a one-year, $10 million contract in the offseason for somebody to just take a risk on to be like, it was there before, maybe we can find it. And he's still throwing hard enough, not as hard as he used to, but hard enough. And his breaking ball is still there at times. Like, we just have to get it consistent and we could get a steal. Or we end up getting through May and we're like, should we just release him? His career's over.
What do you think is more likely? He breaks somebody's heart or turns back into the pitcher he was?
I don't think he's going to turn back into a top 3 to 5 Cy Young candidate. Okay. But I do think he's going to be a guy that's a number three that you're like, I like him. I like him as my number three. And I think at his age, he has the ability still to get to be a number two, I think. But you're looking at now possibly a 3 to 5 year contract. And I think around, I could be low on this number, $20 million a year.
Okay.
So maybe 5 for $100 or like 3 for $65. Maybe you get a little bit of a discount giving him 5 years where you get like $2 or $3 million off per year. And you just have to believe that that arm is going to stay healthy. And I thought he proved a lot there. But that being said, that's in the future. I move now back to Blake Treinen. After the game, I don't have it on cuts or anything. I'll just kind of say what he said. And this is what it is for LA, because they won the two fake championships.
Yeah.
They won the fake NBA championship in the bubble, and they won the fake World Series championship here in Arlington. It counts.
Walker Buehler made allusions to this as well.
But they know Walker Buehler was on the team. Blake Treinen was on the team. And Blake Treinen said on the field, like, I don't know, 10 minutes after they'd won it, maybe a little bit less than that. He says, for us that are still here, that won in 2020, we've heard everything, that wasn't a real championship. And for us to do it now, again, this just feels great. That there were fans there, that there was home field advantage, there were road games, there was travel. This was real baseball.
Yeah.
They know what 2020, it is what it is. They couldn't change it.
Sure.
They won it. They won under those circumstances. But everybody knows that the Lakers winning the championship it counts. In the history of the Lakers, in the history of basketball, it counts. In the history of baseball, 2020 counts. But we all know how weird and kind of manufactured that year was. And they just had to put together a weird year to be like, see, we played baseball. See, there was a champion. But we were like, that really wasn't real baseball.
Yeah.
That wasn't the grind of 162. That wasn't the grind of a playoff run that you usually have to have. And they had Shohei injured, and Freddie Freeman was injured.
Yeah.
It was weird. So Blake Treinen, and I didn't hear Walker Buehler, but I'm glad that he alluded to it too. Yeah. They all know about it. In fact, Dave Roberts was fighting for his job this year in the playoffs because they're like, yeah, you won that World Series, but you haven't won a real World Series.
And now he has a quarter of the World Series wins in Dodgers history.
Yeah. Take that, Tommy.
That's not necessarily.
Oh, I thought that's where you were going with that. But I thought you were taking a shot at Tommy Lasorda.
No, that's a fair point. It just, you look at his job security and it's crazy. They're both in the World Series, but you've heard all kinds of rumblings about Boone and like, how safe is he? And then for Roberts, like, boy, it felt like they needed to win this World Series.
I'll call out my father. My father is like, I don't like the way Aaron Boone, I'll be nice on what he said. I don't like the way Aaron Boone manages his bullpen.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, I hear you. It's just such a different game now with how many guys you use and how quick you go to your pen and stuff like that. And I think when you lose, you can say they did a crappy job. And I'm not saying he didn't do a crappy job. There are things I'm like, why is he doing that? And he did it, and they lost. And maybe he learns from that. Think about how maybe long it took Dave Roberts to learn from at times his mistakes where he would just go on the computer printout. That's one of the reasons Dave kept his job. I love him. He's my friend, one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life as a teammate. But I think he went so computer program that it did keep his job. That's one thing. If you just do what the computer says, at times teams will just go, we're just going to keep you. And he's a great person and the guys love him. But I do think in this playoffs, he might have gone a little bit off script on things that he was doing. And he even talked about in the dugout. I do have to think about if we do play again, because they were down 5-0. Like, he has to think about, like, how much do I go after this game? But then he did bring in Michael Kopech, and then he pushed Blake Treinen. Like, if they don't win that game, Treinen, yes, he does have a day off. At that point, game six, you're like, I don't really want to pitch him. But if I have to, I have to be very careful. He was talking about, I thought this was interesting. People don't get this or understand this, and I'm not expecting people to who never pitched before. But he said, I got to worry about my up-downs, too, that I have with my bullpen. Because, yeah, I can get a guy up because a guy looks like he's in trouble. But I am stressing that guy tonight by, hey, throw 15 to 25 yep. pitches as hard as you can in the bullpen to get ready. And that does stress a guy that, oh, I didn't use him. He didn't pitch tonight. Well, crap, I got him up twice. Like, I kind of did pitch him in the game by getting him up and down twice. So those are a lot of things that it is tough to understand because people say, why do pitchers need warm-ups? Why do they have to, like, it's not like a basketball player checks in. They're like, okay, let's give them a minute and a half to shoot the basketball to see. Well, you're not going to get hurt shooting a basketball. It would help to shoot 10 shots before you check in, and so you have a little bit of a rhythm and everything. They're doing that because there is a violence to throwing a baseball that literally there's no other violence like that in football, and there's no other violence like that. The closest you get to is tennis. And that's why they allow you to warm up a little bit in tennis because of the violence of a serve.
I was looking for the specific quote because it did not get censored on the broadcast. Walker Buehler said, everybody talks S about 2020, but there's not much they can say about it now.
Right.
And so I just really like that. They all hear it.
It's all fake when an athlete of today says they don't hear the media or the fans or whatever. They grew up on social media. You know, the closest that didn't is like LeBron James because he's about our age. But for the most part, all of them grew up on social media. All of them check their phones at halftime. All of them check their phones as soon as the game is over. Honestly, Trayvon Diggs is no different than you are. Sure. Like, he's checking his phone every second of his life, too, even in football pads. So we move forward. We move on to 2025. We will definitely break down the winter meetings and everything as well as we can. In fact, I called you, Kevin. I forgot the winter meetings. I didn't know till I talked to my agent. The winter meetings are here in Dallas this year at the Anatole.
We'll see. Perhaps KNC can be at the winter meetings. We'll see what we can do.
Which that would be really fun. I got to do that here, 2011 or 12 the last time they were here. Not the last time, but.
Would you rather do that this year or get Juan Soto's contract?
You mean get Juan Soto on the Rangers?
No, get Juan Soto's money.
I would rather get Juan Soto's money. I don't. That's want $500+ million, or do you want to do a show at a hotel for 4 hours?
I just wanted to see how much you were in it for the love of the game.
Yeah, I don't even feel like it's a game. Corey. They're talking. We would talk to. It would be awesome. We could talk to agents and general managers and managers. Like, I could maybe pull over Dave Roberts for 5 minutes there and be like, "Hey, Dave, can you come on the show for 5 minutes and just talk about winning the championship or AJ Hinch or something like that?" But I will take $500 million over talking to my friends on the radio for 5 minutes.
That's only going to be 4 hours. Like, that money is going to be able to get us more hours.
I could buy the Anatole.
Oh,
I think I could for $500 million.
I would love it if it was Mike Vasek's Anatole.
If you can buy an NHL franchise for $500 million, can't I buy a hotel for $500 million?
I would think yes.
Not all the Anatoles
but
in the world.
But that one specifically.
That says $156.
Okay.
No. All right. Well, I got plenty. In fact, I'm going to go see you later. I'm going to go buy that hotel now. I think I can make money off of that.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. What one sentence would you use to describe the Cowboys QB situation? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.